Hello and welcome to Enchantment, a Dragon Age Let's Play podcast. I'm your host, Brandon.
And I'm your host, Manny.
And in Enchantment, what we do is play through all of the Dragon Age games, and we combine them with gameplay audio and our commentary to provide a full Let's Play experience as a podcast. So what we've done already is we've played through Dragon Age Origins, the first game in the Dragon Age series, and this podcast is going to be a combination of gameplay audio from when we actually played combined with commentary from the present day. So why are we doing this?
Okay, so Brandon just came up to me and said, why don't we record a podcast? And I was like, okay. And I was like, what game are we going to play? And he suggested Dragon Age. And I was like, I've never played Dragon Age before. And he said, then let's do it.
Then let's do Dragon Age.
Let's do Dragon Age.
Exactly. So I have actually played the Dragon Age series before this podcast. I played Dragon Age Inquisition for the PS4. And then I went back and played Origins and Dragon Age 2 and replayed Inquisition. So I have had a bit of experience with the Dragon Age series.
I have no experience with the Dragon Age series.
Yeah.
This isn't even my first time playing this kind of RPG style.
Right. Well, it was.
It was, because I did finish it. So it was quite an adventure, quite a new experience. I'm so used to platformers or if it's an RPG, the biggest extent of RPG was probably Kingdom Hearts.
Right, yeah. And Pokemon's.
And Pokemon.
Yeah.
I don't know if we count Zelda as one.
I think it's
Zelda.
RPG.
Yeah. Is it more action adventure?
I think it's an RPG. Because what else would it be? It's not a platformer, is it?
No. Link doesn't jump. Link doesn't.
It's a 1D platformer.
It's a 1D platformer. Link jumps, but he automatically jumps.
Yeah, I think that's an RPG.
Okay.
So,
watch the comments freaking hate on you. Yeah. And be like, dumbass, it's not an RPG.
People already signed off. So, the reason I thought Dragon Age was going to be such a great game for this is because it requires so many decisions on our part, and it's such a dynamic game. So, for the listeners who haven't played Dragon Age, it's an RPG by BioWare, where not only does it have typical RPG elements like fighting enemies and equipping different weapons and customizing your character and playing throughout a story, but it also has elements of deciding the fate of your character and the world surrounding you.
And fucking things up for everybody else.
Yeah, like you can make decisions that actually impact the world around you. And I thought that would be such a fun way to play a video game and record it, because not only will you have the audio from our gameplay of us reacting to everything, but you'll also have the commentary so that we can justify why we did what we did, or whether it was an accident to do what we did, or anything involving our decisions that might differ from someone else's playthrough.
There's no justifying some of the things we did. There's no justifying.
So we're going to start listening back into our gameplay of Dragon Age Origins, and we're going to start with our conversation sitting down for the first time about to play the game, still on the main menu. Okay, so we're about to start our journey into Dragon Age Origins.
Yes.
And so I've played it before. I played this game once, and I've played Dragon Age 2 once, and Dragon Age Inquisition twice.
Why that one twice?
So I discovered Dragon Age. I discovered it.
You found it in a cave.
And I played it first because I had PS4 and I wasn't introduced to the rest of the series yet. And then I really liked it, so I went back to play the other two.
Mm-hmm.
And since your progress is saved throughout each game, I then wanted to play Inquisition, like following what I did in those previous games. So that's my pretty much entire Dragon Age experience. Okay. I've only done them once, so there's still things that I obviously haven't done in it. But you haven't played it at all.
I've never played them. I've never even played this type of game before.
What do you mean by
like,
this type?
Like, you know, where people ask me questions and my decisions affect
what's happening.
Yes. I mean, the only kind of game that I played that was like that was Shadow the Hedgehog. But we do not speak of it.
So, speaking of not playing a game like this before, I guess, what are your expectations for what we're gonna see?
Violence.
You expect violence?
I expect lots of violence. I mean, I've seen that video about Dragon Age on the YouTube.
What video?
There was a video I saw, like, two men having sex. So, violence and sex.
Oh, from Dragon Age Inquisition?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, yeah.
Yes, I have. Yes.
So, you know about that. Uh-huh. And you know about Tim Curry.
I do know about Tim Curry. And the reason why I'm choosing the character that I want to choose is because I get to talk to Tim Curry.
Yeah, so that's the only spoiler that you know at this point.
Exactly, because if I don't play with Tim Curry, then what's the point of playing this?
Yeah, what a way to open it. What a way to hook you.
I wouldn't so do I this if works. Tim Curry wasn't involved.
I don't think he's that major.
2 out of 10. Not enough Tim Curry.
So what we mean by choose the character we chose, or that we're going to choose, is because in Dragon Age Origins, you can select the origin of the character you're playing by their gender, their race, and their class, which would be warrior, rogue, or mage.
And I chose one specific class because Tim Curry is more active in that specific class, and I want to play with Tim Curry.
Exactly. So Tim Curry, America's sweetheart.
Excuse me. He's the world's sweetheart.
The world's sweetheart.
The world's sweetheart. He's the best human ever lived on this earth.
Yes. So he voices a character in this game, bless his heart. Essentially what we're saying is that we're going to choose our origin based solely on Tim Curry's presence in the game.
Exactly. Why would I choose anything else? Why would I choose anything else?
Exactly. So for those of you wondering, we're talking about the origin we're going to play in Dragon Age Origins based solely around Tim Curry.
And for those millennials and people younger who don't know who Tim Curry is, he is a British actor who you probably know him as either Nigel Thornberry.
Yes.
Dr. Frankenfurter from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah.
And the classic Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Yes, where he was the
he was a concierge.
The concierge guy. Yeah, exactly. I love you. I or love whatever you. That
oh,
line
he
is.
He should have played the Grinch.
Oh, he would make an amazing Grinch. There's still time.
He's 70 years old.
I know. I don't know that, actually.
Really?
I know he's old.
He's old.
Yeah, and now everyone knows.
I'm Brandon, which I'm sure you heard in our intro that we've yet to record. So you know about my Dragon Age history. I've been playing video games my whole life.
I mean, since you were like...
But since this is about a video game, I feel like I need
months.
To talk about that particular aspect of me. I mostly play RPGs. Mm-hmm. I guess my first RPG technically was Pokemon. Because I had Pokemon Blue for the Game Boy Color. Oh. Well, it's for the Game Boy, but I had it on the Game Boy Color.
Okay.
They just made everything in the game blue. Did you ever play it on the Game Boy Color?
I never, because I did have it on the game. Well, I played Pokemon Yellow.
Okay.
On the Game Boy Color. Wasn't my version of Pokemon Yellow.
It was someone else's.
My father just found a copy of Pokemon Yellow on the floor and just took it. This is real. Yeah. My father found it on the floor. He's like, oh, look at that Pokemon stuff. You like that, right? I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. I'll take it. And that was probably my first RPG that I
played.
That
was your first RPG too?
And I never completed. And I this is going to be funny if that Pokemon leak is...
Let's go.
The Let's Go is true.
Yeah, there's going to be two Pokemon Yellows.
Two Pokemon Yellows.
And that can't happen.
But yeah, so you play...
So yeah, so I started with Pokemon Blue. That was my first ever RPG. I feel like I didn't play that much RPG games until I discovered Kingdom Hearts in, I want to say, 2007. I discovered Kingdom Hearts, and that kind of opened the doors to RPGs. Because after that, I played Final Fantasy. And during my PSP days, I had like Final Fantasy 1, Final Fantasy 2, Final Fantasy someone else, 6.
Okay.
And then I don't remember how I got into Dragon Age. I honestly don't remember how I discovered it. I think...
You found it in a cave.
It was it was a few years ago, but how did I know to go to the cave?
You found the map.
Yes, I found the map. And the map was called... I think the map was called YouTube, and I saw a trailer for it.
Okay. Interesting tale.
Yeah. So, and then I was just like, oh, this looks cool. These characters look neat. And I didn't know anything about Dragon Age. And I might have looked up whether you needed to play the previous games, and I can't imagine them saying, no, you don't need to play the previous games, but I did play it without the previous games anyway.
Okay.
So our luck during this podcast will be much better, because we'll actually have played all the previous stuff and know what's going on.
Exactly.
And even if we don't know what's going on in the moment... We'll be able to cut in a version of ourselves that do.
Yeah.
Or at least had more time to think about it.
Exactly. I'm Mandy.
Hello.
Hello. I've been playing video games since I was probably 3 or 4.
Uh-huh.
I played...
Do you know what your first video game was?
Yes, it was Super Mario World on the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
Yes, so that
I never had a Super Nintendo.
I won't say that I had one. My sisters had one. It was okay. Not mine.
Well, I mean...
I did play with it, though.
That's fine.
And I played Super Mario World. And then, like, my first ever console that was meant specifically for me was N64.
Uh-huh.
And I played Super Mario 64, Mario Kart 64.
So just all the Marios.
All the Marios. I'm a big Mario fan.
Mario Party 2.
Jeopardy. Excuse me. Mario Party 2 is the best Mario Party because you could dress up Donkey Kong as a wizard.
Yeah.
That's
something they're severely lacking in the other games.
Exactly. I don't really play RPGs that much. I mean, I played Kingdom Hearts. I played 1 and 2 and Chain of Memories, but the PS2 version of Chain of Memories, for Christ's sake. I'm not going to play with a damn GBA version of Kingdom Hearts.
So all of this conversation is happening while the game downloads all of the assets and the DLC that we also downloaded along with this game.
And it was taking forever.
Yeah, it was taking forever. So finally, at this point, the main menu actually pops up.
All right, look at this, guys. A sword in the rock with foreboding clouds.
And it's all red and orange.
Do I get to, like, decide what he looks like?
Yeah.
Like hair and everything?
Yeah, hair.
Holy crap.
Eyes, face.
Yeah, all of
nose.
This is gonna be amazing.
Face.
Nose. Just nose and face. Hair, yeah. Eye, nose, face.
There's only one mouth. There's only one cheek.
Oh, well, only one mouth, one cheek. What, like this?
So at this point, we finally select to start the game. And after a bit of loading, we start with a quote.
Oh. And so is the golden city blackened with each step you take in my hall. Marvel at perfection, for it is fleeting. You have brought sin to heaven and doom upon all the world. Canticle of Theranodes 8:13.
Is that from the Bible? I just want to reassure everybody that I know that this quote is not from the Bible. It was a joke. I'm not that dumb.
Total joke.
I don't actually... Well, I've never read the Bible, so...
Yeah.
Who knows? It could be.
I actually don't know what they call it in this world. I think it's like the Chant of Light or something is their Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever it is, it's from their equivalent of the Bible.
Yeah.
Yes. And once that quote kind of whooshes away...
It whooshes in fire.
It whooshes in like sparkly fire. And then we get the start of a cutscene that gives us a lot of excellent exposition.
The Chantry teaches us that it is the hubris of men which brought the Darkspawn into our world. The mages had sought to usurp heaven, but instead, they destroyed it. They were cast out, twisted and cursed by their own corruption. They returned as monsters, the first of the Darkspawn. They became a blight upon the lands, unstoppable and relentless.
Wow. Glowy eyes.
The dwarven kingdoms were the first to fall.
Why?
From the deep roads, the Darkspawn drove at us again and again until finally we neared annihilation.
So the cutscene shows us a battle between dwarves, one golem, and the Darkspawn, and there's just, you know, death and blood everywhere you go. Just a bunch of death.
The Grey Wardens came. Men and women from every race. Warriors and mages. Barbarians and kings. The Grey Wardens sacrificed everything to stem the tide of darkness and prevail.
So once all the fighting is over, we see a character we'll soon meet walk to the edge of a cliff. After the fighting is over, and he
is a total badass.
He's a total badass, and he kicks a Darkspawn body that he just killed off the cliff while the narration's going on.
It has been 4 centuries since that victory, and we have kept our vigil. We have watched and waited for the Darkspawn to return. But those who once called us heroes have forgotten. We are few now, and our warnings have been ignored for too long.
Damn! Incomplete.
For I have seen with my own eyes what lies on the horizon.
Alright, so something came to my mind as we're watching it. I don't know if I asked this before. The narrator.
Yeah.
Is it Duncan?
Yeah, he talks about himself in the first person.
I just realized this.
Yeah, so like, spoiler alert, that character that just did all that badass stuff, his name is Duncan. Yeah, so the narration, he eventually addresses himself in the first person. So that whole narration we just listened to is actually Duncan.
Because I was just like watching him like, wait a minute, was it ever confirmed who the narrator was? Yeah. I thought it was just like some ancient guy reading in a library, like, let me tell you the story of Dragon Age.
No, yeah, that's Duncan, because eventually he says, I see what's on the horizon and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool all guy. I wanted to confirm.
And after that, we get the character generation screen, which pops up, so we can finally start creating our character.
Okay. Here we are.
Character generation. Male or female?
Such a weird way to do the male. There's circles, but why is it a square?
What square?
You see how, like, because usually the male symbol is a circle with the arrow. It looks like a square to me. Oh, wait.
No, it's a circle with spikes coming out of it.
Oh, that's why I got confused. Okay. This moment begins my journey of discovery, where I find out that I have dwindling eyesight.
It happens to the best of us.
It happens, but I've had perfect eyesight for the longest time. And now I think I'm showing my age.
As someone who wears glasses, sorry?
I mean, because like, you'll see throughout this podcast that I flub a bunch of words when we try to read stuff. And like, it's just, it doesn't help that the lettering in this game is so fancy.
Yeah. And it's almost to a fault.
It's to a fault. And also, we usually play at my house where my TV is not the biggest one.
Uh-huh.
So it does make it harder to read.
It's just a whole mess of a situation.
Exactly. And I want someone should understand that when the circle has spikes pointing outwards, four spikes especially, it looks like a square.
Yeah, the base of the gender symbols, they really like, they try to edge it up.
Because it's so edgy.
It's so edgy, and so they have to give the circle at the base spikes.
Why
right where the corners of a square would be.
I don't understand why they couldn't just make the point. Like, it already has a spike. It's an arrow. Why arrow do we need more spikes? I don't understand, but let's continue.
Okay. So it could be human,
elf
or dwarf.
Now, can I be an elf and be a warrior at the same time and still meet Tim Curry?
No.
Oh.
Yeah. It's like, if you choose the elves or the dwarves, you'll start the game where they live. Not... So, like, Tim Curry's character is where the humans
reside. I would love to be an elf. I always loved elves.
I mean, you could be an elf.
No, I want...
I think Tim Curry's still gonna be a character we come up
with. I'd rather have prime Tim Curry time.
Okay, so let's do that then.
Okay, so a warrior, yes. Background, human noble.
At that point, we had selected our class, which was warrior, and our race, which is human, and that determines the origin we start with, which is the human noble origin, which, as we've heard plenty of times, has Tim Curry's character in it.
Exactly. I don't understand why you would want to play as anything else.
Yes. So with that comes up a description of the human noble origin and the opportunity to finally name your character.
Just born to wealth. And, I'm gonna read the whole background.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So at that point, I try to read the background for Human Noble that it so kindly displays for us. And Manny is super eager and super ready to get into the game.
There is no time.
And he skips right past it.
There's no time to waste. We need to get him immediately to the naming and customization.
Yes.
I don't need to know his background.
Okay, so I'm eventually going to insist that we read the background anyway. But at this point, we're going to take the opportunity to name him.
Well, I got to give him a name.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna name him myself. We should name him something like very magical, like
something magical.
Like
Steve.
I actually had that in my head.
Wait, really?
Yes, I had Steve. Okay, Stevan. Can we name him Stevan?
How would you spell that?
S-T-E-V-A-N. Stevan.
Stevan. Do you want to put an accent on the A?
Oh, of course. We don't put an N yet at the end of that. Stevania.
No, I still can't do that.
Stevania. Brandon and I just happened to have the name Steve in our heads for this magical being.
Yeah, I just love that that's the most magical thing we both could muster as the first word out of our
head. I mean, we gave him the name Estevan.
Estevan. Yeah, we spiced it up a little.
Because, well, I was originally thinking of Steven, but then, you know, having the little...
The accent?
The accent on the A.
Oh, yeah, it adds a lot.
I still wish... I kind of regret us not putting the N-Y-A.
We couldn't.
I mean, it would have been... I would have loved just saying Stevania.
Imagine saying that every single time. Stevania.
My name's Stevania.
It's impossible.
I know.
At this point, we do go back to the background so we can learn more about Stevan.
Stevania's past.
Stevan's.
Damn it.
Can we go back? I want to read our background.
Okay, let's read our background.
I'm itching to.
Okay, read all the right. Background.
Born to wealth and power, second only to royalty, you find your training in both diplomacy and battle put to the test as your brother leads the bulk of your family's forces to war in the south. Okay, yeah.
That's it.
So it looks like our brother is leading our family's forces to war.
In the south.
In the south. Okay. And we're diplomatic.
Oh, this is...
And battle-y.
This is like Civil War. Not the Captain America kind.
What, you're saying
because we're going to the south.
Oh, we have to re-put the name.
Oh.
Sorry, I really wanted to know. See, we wouldn't know that our brother was leading war in the south.
That's true.
The next thing that appears is the menu to change Stevan's appearance. Our method to do this is to start from a preset that we really like, and then edit from there the details that we want for Stevan. And we eventually settle on the preset that we think we want to start from.
No.
Do you want him to have a beard?
I kind of want him to have a beard.
Like a short beard?
I like this.
Okay.
I like this.
Stevan. Okay. Is it Stevan or Stevan?
Stevan.
Stevan.
Okay.
So right now he has a mustache and a beard that doesn't go to his chin.
Okay.
Stevan.
Stevan. Okay.
So let's do...
How do I go to the next thing?
You scroll down.
I'm trying to.
Hit X.
Stevan. So let me describe what he looks like.
Yes.
So Stevan has ruffled brown hair.
Mm-hmm.
A beard that goes not all the way to his... Like a sideburns that don't go directly to his chin.
No.
It stops right where the chin is. Like right before the chin.
But neither of those are his primary facial feature.
No, there is one big facial feature that is... I think defines Stevan as a character.
Totally, yeah.
He has a giant handlebar mustache.
They hang over his jawline. You know, they hang over like a handlebar mustache. And the beard and the sideburns run down his jawline and then just stop exactly where the handlebar mustache
overlaps. You know what
overlaps.
It looks like? It looks like someone super glued a brown croissant under his nose.
Uh-huh.
Like, it is just, like, I kind of want to just rip it off.
It is just so huge.
It is so huge.
And the only thing indicating that it's supposed to be there is the fact that his beard stops there.
Yes. And so we were going to, you know, this wasn't our original intent.
No, well, we were going to work from this, but we started to have troubles with the interface. And once we figured out the interface, we kind of went to the next stage without doing any details, without really picking up on that mistake.
I mean, do you regret not trying to fix his face?
I love Stevan the way he is.
I mean, I feel like it makes him unique. It doesn't, even though this is a
preset. Makes him very unique.
It makes him very unique. His personality just kind of comes out from there.
No, I definitely see it. And I feel Stevan when I see this face, especially now after having played him.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of made a mistake with the menu, but I think Stevan looks great regardless.
I know. Everyone loves Stevan. Everyone would love a man who looks like Stevan.
The next series of menus that appear are to set the stats and abilities of our character. So the first menu to appear allows us to set our attributes, which are Stevan's stats. And that comes in the form of 6 different stats. You have strength, which increases the attack power of warriors. You have dexterity, which increases the attack power of rogues. Magic, attack power of mages. Then you have willpower, which gives you more stamina to use your abilities. You have cunning, which increases your coercion. And we're I also think lockpicking is a little harder to define. Maybe evasiveness? Not entirely sure. And then you have constitution.
Which gives you rights.
Which gives you rights. The right to more health.
The right
life,
to liberty and pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, emphasis on the life. So those are your three stats. Following that, we can set the skills of Stevan. And skills come in the form of things like combat tactics, which allow you to have more things your AI can do in battle for your teammates and for Stevan.
And poison making.
Poison making.
Which we did not give Stevan because Stevan doesn't poison people.
No, he's Stevan's a hitter.
Not dirty that way.
Yeah. You have things like combat training, which allow you to use stronger and stronger abilities. Coercion, which allow you to be more persuasive in conversation. All sorts of things like that. So those cover your skills. I believe the first skill we gave Stevan was coercion because we wanted right out the gate to be able to persuade as many people as we could to
it's
do whatever we wanted.
Stevan as a character, as I envisioned him, he's very kind. He's very persuasive. Yeah. Like you would trust Stevan.
Super diplomatic.
Super diplomatic. Like I compare him a lot to Jon Snow. From Game of Thrones.
Yeah, okay.
He's very much... Well, you don't watch
Game of Thrones. I don't watch Game of Thrones.
I watch Game of Thrones. Uh-huh. I watched all of it. I skipped a season or so.
Okay.
But he's very much like Jon Snow. Very diplomatic.
Sure.
He could be a dick at points, but, you know, he's nice most of the time.
And...
Like 90%.
Yeah. So, I think we hit that with our emphasis on his persuasiveness.
Yes.
Following that menu, we have... The talents which a character can learn, which are their abilities.
Yeah, one of them is not singing, unfortunately.
No, not talents like singing and dancing, unfortunately.
I mean, that would come in handy at one point. What if, like, there was a part where we go to, like, a city and it's like, we'll let you take the prisoner if you could lip sync for your life.
Lip sync? They don't even... You can't even sing.
You can't even sing.
So, yeah, so your talents are essentially your abilities, and these come in... pretty much three different forms. You have passive abilities, which are just general things you don't have to actually activate. Things like your attacks always have the chance to stun an enemy and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then you have sustained abilities, which are kind of like modes that you can set your character into, like a mode that increases your accuracy but lowers your attack. And then you have abilities that are sort of special attacks. So like a big swing that'll knock back the enemy.
Yeah.
With those three menus navigated and with all those things set for Stevan, we finally get the chance to choose the difficulty setting and begin the game.
Ooh. All right, so what difficulty?
Oh, okay. So normal is...
Please not hard.
Oh, no. We're going to do nightmare.
Ah, no, no. So casual is like... It's pretty easy... I think the first time I played it, I played on normal and actually switched to casual. So you want to try on normal?
Let's try normal.
I feel like we should at least be challenged, you know?
Let's be I don't want a walk in the park.
And normal doesn't allow friendly fire, but the other ones do.
Okay.
But they're also harder. Like, let's try normal.
Okay.
Now that we've selected the normal difficulty, a cutscene begins to begin gameplay.
And before we get into the cutscene, let us just say that I wish we did Nightmare. Or we should do Nightmare in the future.
No, we're not ready for that.
Why? But it's a challenge.
We're totally not ready for that, Manny.
What is Nightmare like? Have you tried Nightmare?
Nightmare is like you have to be super tactical. Like, incredibly tactical.
I love how I said, oh, let's do Nightmare, but this comes from a guy who doesn't do Proud Mode in Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, you barely did Normal Mode.
I did Normal Mode!
I'm kidding.
Okay.
For the most part.
Here comes the cutscene.
For generations, your family, the Kuzlans, has stewarded the lands of Hyava, earning the loyalty of your people with justice and temperance.
What do we look like? Oh, we didn't change our facial features.
We
kept the preset.
It's fine. That's what I imagine Stevan to look like.
Okay. Sorry, Stevan.
At this point, we realize that we skipped the entire character customization. Like we said before, we had menu issues and totally skipped over choosing the details of Stevan's face.
Not only did we have a chance to change it. Not only did it happen once.
Uh-huh.
It happened twice. We backed out of the other menus to go back to the facial feature thing. It's like, ah, never mind, let's keep going.
We were in the attributes thing, the thing right after choosing the facial features, and we accidentally hit circle, which brought us back to the previous screen, and we were like, whoops, sorry, and then went.
It was because we thought that, like, oh, it's grayed out, what's going on? Who cares?
Yeah, totally, like, didn't even realize it, and even when we went back to the menu accidentally, we were like, whoops, and went right to the next thing, not realizing that we totally skipped half that menu.
Though, it seems like within the tone of your voice at that moment, you seemed like you were not pleased of Stevan's face.
I mean, it's not that I wasn't pleased, it was just like, I feel like we missed out on kind of an important aspect of the game, where we just totally skipped over editing his face.
I mean, we got him.
We have a face. It's not like it was some default face. Mm. I'm happy with it at this point, but at the time, I was kind of I was surprised that we totally skipped over that without realizing.
Yeah. And so what happens next is more of the cutscene.
Yes.
Where we also kind of realize that so some of these graphics have not aged well.
Yeah, the graphics, they do a good job, but there are a lot of points where character models will kind of appear in places when it's their turn to be there, as opposed to naturally appearing there, or they will, when they're about to make a movement, they'll like reappear and then do the movement.
There's one instance in the opening cutscene that's about to happen. A guy is about to just walk down a couple of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the animation, you know, you would think, oh, he's just going to walk down the stairs. It looks like he tripped down all three stairs.
Yeah.
But yet found a way to find his balance at the end.
Yeah, it's funny because animating steps is actually really hard. It's not easy to get, like, the character walking animation to match with the steps. But the camera's not on his feet, so literally you could have just had him walk down the incline, and it would have just looked like he was walking down steps.
Exactly.
Maybe they were overcompensating and trying to make it look like he was walking down steps, but it just ended up looking like he tripped down the steps.
I mean, like, I'm guessing that there were some things they had to take out, that they couldn't fully, like, have these beautiful graphics, because the world is huge.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things that, like, the story and everything.
Yeah, and the fact that it branches, and a lot of these scenes you won't even see.
Exactly.
Like, if we had chosen any other origin, if we were an elf or whatever, we would never have seen this person fall down the steps.
Exactly. There's things that you have to sacrifice to have, a good, full-fledged, immersive game.
Exactly. So, despite all of that, the cutscene still beautifully sets the scene for Stevan's origin.
Today, your elder brother takes up House Kuzlan's banner in service to the crown. Not against the men of Orlais, but against the bestial darkspawn rising in the south.
I trust then that your troops will be here shortly.
I expect they will start arriving tonight, and we can march tomorrow.
Is that Tim Curry? It is!
That's Tim Curry?
That's Tim Curry.
One of the first people we speak to.
Of course, the first person. The first person that we meet is Tim Curry.
It is. It's like the game knew that that's what you were waiting for and wanted to give you to him as soon as possible.
BioWare knew who they were making this game
for. They really did.
They knew. It was like, one day, this Hispanic named Manny is going to play Dragon Age. And we need to cast Tim Curry. And he has to be the first one who he talks to.
Exactly. So, to set the scene, we've just peered into the scene at Devon's family estate, the Kuzlan estate. And
before we go anywhere,
okay,
for the longest time, for probably like 97% of this game, I did not know that their last name was Kuzlan.
Okay, so let's get it out of the way now for the audience. Stevan Kuzlan.
Stevan Kuzlan.
That is the name.
Exactly.
Yes. So we set the scene and we see that Stevan's father, who is a Tern, which is a title that he has.
Is it kind of like Lord?
Yeah, it's like a high up title. They said Stevan is second to royalty. So Stevan's father is very high nobility as a Tern.
Okay.
And so
he's like vice president.
No.
Wouldn't vice president be next if like something bad happened? Like he's just like, he's automatically going to become president after this guy dies? Or king?
No, because that's not how monarchies work.
I mean, I'm trying to put it in a way.
Basically, he's the highest position he can be without being royalty, is what it seems.
Okay.
So he's speaking to his longtime friend, Arl Howe, who is the character that Tim Curry plays. Mm-hmm. And they just quip a bit about their history and their previous war with the Orlesians.
And also that their hair was not as gray.
Their hair is not as gray. Yes. And at a certain point, Stefan finally walks in and is addressed by Arl Howe, and we get to speak to Tim Curry.
That's wonderful.
I'm sorry, Pop, I didn't see you there. Hal, you remember my son.
I see he's grown into a fine young man. Pleased to see
you. Oh, it's us! Oh, we're talking to Tim Curry! Okay. That's the first so Tim Curry is playing Arl Howe. Mm-hmm. And he says, I see he's grown to a fine young man. Pleased to see you again, lad. Okay. What do you want to say? How are we going to talk to Tim Curry?
Well, I have to now find Stefan's voice.
Oh.
How do we imagine Stefan to talk like? Like, is he...
I mean, he's a noble.
So he talk like this. Not like
Like, was I brought here for a reason?
Okay, so he's British? I guess he's Ferelden.
Every fantasy person is British.
I don't know. Not in this game.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so, was I brought here for a reason? And you are all how? Is your family here all how?
So you're not leaving until tomorrow? Is your family
here? I feel like that's a weird way to respond. He said pleased to see you, and you're like, so you're not leaving until tomorrow? Like this.
Was I brought here for a reason? I don't want to be like, that sounds like a dick.
Yeah, that sounds kind of
like,
mean.
Was I brought here for a reason? I won't talk to you, yeah. But I want to talk to
and
you.
And that's like the first response that they give you is like, am I here for something? Should we just say, and you are. And just be like super polite.
Yeah, but and you are how?
Yeah.
My daughter Delilah asked after you. Perhaps I should bring her next time.
Oh, your daughter Delilah.
Oh, to what end? I'd like that. I don't like that.
You don't
Can
like
Stefan
that?
Be gay?
From the beginning of playing this game, I had an idea. And that idea was Stefan needed to be gay.
And how did you get there?
Well, I'm gay.
Okay.
And also, I wanted... Because I didn't want, you know, to have a typical straight relationship with some random elf lady or random human lady.
Okay.
And, you know, it's going to be boring. I want to connect to Stefan than any other character I've played as in other video games. Like, I play as Mario. Do I like Princess Peach that way? No, I don't. And so I was like, I want to relate to a video game character.
Sure. Okay, yeah. And this kind of starts a journey. I'll say it's kind of a shared journey between Stefan and Manny.
Okay.
I'm kind of there, but I'm not as invested in the romance.
I'm just going to say it right now. My main goal was to get Stefan a boyfriend, and I want him to get laid.
Okay. We'll find out whether that happens or not. But for now, we can just know that as a character, Stefan is officially gay.
He can be whatever you want him to be.
I want him to be gay.
Okay, now he's gay.
I have no interest in an arrangement. Oh, that seems a little...
He didn't say... All he said was, she asked after me.
Delilah's quite a bit younger than I am.
Delilah's quite a bit younger than I am. Do you want to assume that he's talking about marriage?
I'm assuming...
Who wouldn't want to marry Stefan?
Who would? Stefan's like the hottest guy in all the realms.
So, should we just say I have no interest in arranged marriage?
Yeah, I have no interest.
See what I contend with, Hal? You can't tell my fierce boy anything these days, Maker, bless his heart.
Temperament to match his fighting skill. Well done, your lordship.
Oh, thank you.
At any rate, Pop, I summoned you for a reason.
They like us.
While
they really like us.
Out of the way, I'm leaving you in charge of the castle.
Are you certain what's involved with such a task?
I'll do my best, father.
I'll do my best, father.
What? Why can't I go into battle with you and Fergus? Oh, so do we want to be fighty, or do we want to say, are you certain?
I like my dad. I want to do the best for him.
So do you want to just say, I'll do my best, father?
Exactly.
And just, like, no questions asked?
Yeah.
Now, that's what I'd like to hear.
Oh,
only a token force is remaining here.
Oh, God.
You must keep peace in the region. You know what they say about mice when the cat is away. Yes?
No.
There's also someone you must meet.
At this point, there's someone we need to meet, and that person is Duncan.
And if you remember,
yes.
Duncan is the badass man
mm-hmm.
who stabbed a darkspawn, then sliced him,
yes,
then pushed him off a cliff.
Yeah, We loves the Duncan.
We love Duncan. He's not, you know, over the top at all.
Yeah. He's come to the Kuslin estate because he's looking for recruits into the Grey Wardens. Now, the Grey Wardens, as they mentioned in the cutscene, were a small order, or rather are a small order, of warriors, mages, and all types of fighters of all types of races whose specific role in society is to fight off the Darkspawn when the need arises. And Duncan, seeing that there's another rise of the Darkspawn coming, decides to go around looking for recruits, and his search brought him to the Kuslin estate.
And Arlhal is just so happy.
He's just so fine with it. In fact, he says exactly that. He's totally fine with Duncan's visit.
With no condescending tone.
There's no tone to suggest otherwise.
Exactly.
And Duncan actually makes a suggestion that Stevan could possibly be a worthy candidate of joining the Grey Wardens.
If I might be so bold, I would suggest that your son is also an excellent candidate.
Honor though that might be, this is one of my sons we're talking about.
Whoa. That's father just stepped right between us like, oh, you know, your son would make a great Grey Warden. Nope.
I think I rather like the idea, father.
Father. Do you want... Oh,
not
okay.
Not so many children, yeah, that I'll gladly see them all off to battle. Unless you intend to invoke the right of conscription.
Have no fear. While we need as many good recruits as we can find, I've no intention of forcing the issue.
With that said, Daddy sends us to get Fergus so he can lead the troops to Ostagar.
Yeah, Fergus being our brother. As we know, he's leading the troops to the south.
Yes, the one thing that we got from that bio that, oh, you so needed to read.
Exactly. That's how I know this. So our brother Fergus is leading the troops ahead of our father to Ostagar, where they're going to be participating in this big battle. Our father asks us to find Fergus and let him know to do this.
And also, we have like no time to talk to Duncan because I was like, I want to talk to Duncan. He's like, no. You fucking go.
Yeah.
You fucking find Fergus.
Yeah, and I get it. I mean, battles and preparing for battles are pretty important. So,
so is socializing.
Yeah, socializing is very important. But I guess when you don't want your son to be a Grey Warden, I get why you're restricting him from talking to the Grey Warden.
That's true.
So, our next task is to go find Fergus, let him know the deal.
Be a good lad and do as I've asked.
Be a good boy.
Talk soon. Ugh.
He's kind of patronizing.
Okay.
Saving content.
Perfect.
All right, we're playing. Wait, can you pause it first? And we get a caption.
I feel sun through the ashes in the sky.
And that ends episode 1 of Enchantment Origins.
What a great Tim Curry-filled start of a video game.
Yeah, I feel like Stevan has so much potential at this point, and I'm really looking forward to seeing whether that plays out.
Well, we know how it plays out, but...
We know how it plays out.
But do you guys know? You gotta tune in to the next episode where we finally have control of Stevan.
I know, we finally have control. We are in the steering wheel. We get to run around, talk to people, do tasks. It's gonna be incredible.
It's gonna be great. We're gonna see some new faces.
Yeah.
Visit some new places.
Yeah.
Will it be happy or sad?
I don't know. There's only one way to know.
Exactly.
For more on Enchantment, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at EnchantmentCast. And if you'd like to email the show, you can email enchantmentpodcast@gmail.com.
And again, this has been Manny.
This is Brandon.
And thank you for listening to Enchantment. We'll see you next time.